You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:25pm. We've got Gordon Brown, Stephen Powell and Andrew Mount in the studio. And we've got action throughout the afternoon. Three jumpers with Ludlow, Musselburgh and Taunton playing host to the National Hunt Racing. Newcastle and Kempton throughout the evening as well. For all weather fans, plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Oh, very good afternoon to you, Mark. Oh, I'm enjoying this early summer that we're getting. Goodness gracious me. It's certainly not natural, but we'll take it while we can. But I feel we're in a bit of a dilemma for poor old Cheltenham, aren't we, with this situation regarding the rain, because it's just not happening. And the other problem is that it doesn't look like it's going to happen, does it?
No, it's global warming, isn't it, and all that.
Global warming. I wonder what the beautiful, vivacious Lucinda Bazzardi would say about the forthcoming weather. I'm not so sure. But John Ketley, he says it's going to be soft on the opening day of Cheltenham.
Really?
They think they could have, I think it's 45 mil of rain.
Right.
Before the festival.
We probably need a bit, don't we?
So we need that. We need that. Yeah, it's an inch and a bit, nearly 2 inches. So we do need that.
Yeah.
To make the ground safe and suitable for more of the runners than less of them, sort of thing. So, yeah, it's slightly concerning. And again, you've got to feel sorry for Cheltenham a little bit as well, because they are in the laps of the gods, do they, don't they? If they do, it'll piddle down. Mm. And if they don't, it'll stay dry. It's not an easy one.
No, they have been pretty good at getting the ground good to soft on the opening day of the festival for a number of years now, haven't they? So I suppose if anybody's going to pull it off, it will be Cheltenham. But yeah, I get what you're saying. They can't win sometimes in those situations, can they?
So, no.
While we're on the subject of Cheltenham, Pimmy, we're going to have a little bit of a chat about the Cheltenham Gold Cup, because it's a very interesting renewal this time around. We've got horses that have been there and done it. We've got some up-and-coming horses. We've also got plenty of them that have blotted their copybook en route to the festival as well. 72 joint favourites at the time of recording this, presenting Percy and Clander's Erbo. Native River, the reigning champion, 11-2. Kenboy is 10-1. 14s Might Bite. Bells Hill, 14-1 as well, with Road to Respect. And it's 16-1. Or bigger prices for the rest. Plenty of talk in the media over the last few days from certain trainers. Colin Tizard saying Native River will be primed and have a big chance of defending his crown. Paul Nichols, as we record this, has spoken up the chances of Clander Zerbo. And we haven't seen presenting Percy and his trainer, Pat Kelly, not really saying much at all. So what do you make of it at the moment?
Ooh, Pat Kelly, he plays his cards close to his chest, that youth, doesn't he? You want to be playing poker with old Pat now, that's for sure. Yeah, he's interesting. I mean, gosh, I thought his performance earlier in the month was a fantastic performance. You know, showed he's still got the same zest, still got the same verve for the job. Shows that he's in rude health. And, you know, it taking a little bit of bottle by the team of Pat Kelly to not run and to go there without a run. It'll be some training performance if he gets him there to get the job done. But obviously, he does know that he's got a class horse. And getting him there safe and sound is their main priority, as I imagine. So I can see where they're coming from there. Obviously, Clanzobo been in great form this year. Nichols, very bullish at the moment, having those 8 winners there the other weekend, and horses in great form. And we didn't have chance too much look into it too much depth, but it does seem to me that horses coming into the Gold Cup for the first time have more chance of winning it than actually running in it again at the next time. Now, I know you're going to fire me down, listener, and say, hang on a minute, Native River, third lap the year before, then goes on to win it. Yeah, that was true. And again, one of my esteemed colleagues thought Native River might have won that first Gold Cup riding if the Tizard team had been in better form at that moment in time. So, yeah, it's an interesting stat, that, and I think that's where I would be more likely to follow my instinct with the presenting Percy and the Clander's Oboe going for it for the first time. going back to Coney Greet, to be honest, I was one of the ones who said, whoa, what on earth are you going for the Gold Cup for when you've got the RSA at your mercy? But how right they were. They knew the horse was right. You got one bite at that big cherry and they took it and it paid off. Yeah, I think it's an interesting little race, but for me, I'm going to side with that coming to the Gold Cup for the first time. Might bite. Oof. I think he'd suck you rather than bite you now.
Yeah, he's a bit toothless nowadays, isn't he?
He is indeed.
Or he has been this season anyway.
Yeah, he's got to turn around immensely for me to think he's going to be a player.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past Nicky Henderson, given how good a trainer he is, but he needs to have some kind of miracle comeback to have a chance. And just looking through the recent winners, obviously you mentioned Native River, but if you go through the ones before that, so if you are listening and you have the answer to this, then do feel free to send it to us, studio@williamhill.co.uk, and we can bring this up on the programme as well. But sizing John, it was his first run in the race. It was Don Cossack's first run in the race. Coney Gree, Lord Windermere, Bobsworth, I think, as well. Synchronised, Long Run, Imperial Commander, Corto Star, Denman. Every time they won it, it was their first, apart from Corto regaining it, but it was their first run in the race when they won it for the first time.
Right. So I think that's a crucial thing. So we'll watch this space, but bear that in mind, listener, if you're having a little punt at the big one, the old Magnus.
Anybody?
Do you like a bit of Magnus?
I don't mind a Magnus, yeah.
No.
Yeah. The last horse I can find, just scrolling through very quickly, that won it after running in it, was the Dickler, I think, back in 73.
That's it, really?
Finished runner-up twice before winning it.
Right, so that was unique, their Native River.
Mm.
Coming into the second Gold Cup and winning it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because prior to that, it hadn't happened. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, somebody might... We need a Stephen Powell or something, don't we, that's got all this anorak knowledge. That
yeah, or the other guy, the stats man.
Andrew Mount. Yeah.
Interesting, that is tomorrow. What He's a show that is tomorrow. You've got Andrew Mount, you've got Stevie Powell.
Yes.
Both just recently fathers. They will be comparing notes about nappies. Don't you worry about that. And I don't mean nappies as in your best bet of the day. I mean, ooh, smelly things.
Yeah, yeah. what we are saying anyway, what we can definitely say is it's rare, isn't it, that a horse runs in it and then goes on to win it. And you think in that case you'd side with one of the newcomers in the race.
Correct.
If you had to pick at the moment, what would you go with?
Clan des Oboe.
Would you, yeah? 72, yeah. Joint favourite Clan des Oboe. For Paul Nichols, of course, who's got a great record in the race as well, hasn't he? With Corto Star and Denman in recent years.
Yeah, again, he's gone a bit quiet on that front. I can't think when he last won it. Was it 2009 or something like that? But anyway, he does know how to get the job done. And as I say, he's also been in cracking form of late.
It was 2009, yeah. Corto's really? Second Gold Cup, yeah.
Hey.
That was his last one.
Wonder where I got that stat from.
It's like you've studied or something.
I can't believe that.
He's actually saying he thinks he's got the best festival team he's had for a number of years. He's had a few quiet years at the
festival. He has, yeah. I mean, like he's nearly gone to the last day before he's got a winner, hasn't he? Or he's managed to get one or whatever. So, yeah, he's not been the king of the festival for a while now, but he looks like he's assembled a good team this year.
Less than 2 weeks until the big day at Cheltenham when it all gets underway on the Tuesday. We're really looking forward to check out those William Hill specials as well, and keep an eye out on Twitter and so on and so forth, because we're having countdown offers every single day. So when it's 12 days to go, it'll be 12-1 for the offer and 11-1 for the offer and so on and so forth. So they're worth a look. Let's concentrate on matters a little bit closer to hand though, Pimmy, because we've got some good racing coming up this week. We're going to just take a little glance at Saturday's big race at Newbury, the William Hill supporting Greatwood Gold Cup Handicap Chase, which is a Grade 3 over 2.5 miles, obviously waiting for the final declarations as we record this. But we can have a little bit of a glance at it, Pimmy. And at the time of recording this, the market is headed by War Sound at 6-1. 8-1 for Molyneux. Happy Diva is 8-1. It's 10s for Dolos. Mercy and Prince 12s, along with Warrior's Tale and Calypto. Not Graffin is also 12-1. It's then 14s or bigger for the others. Open as you'd expect, Pimmy, 6-1 the field. Do you have any gems of wisdom for us ahead of this?
Think girl power here. That's the thing. Girl power. Kerry Lee's very well represented. I think she's got 4 in there. Lucinda Russell has got Forrester Eagles. Amy Murphy's got Messian Prince. He wouldn't be without his chance, that is for sure. Venetia's got Calypto. who was a ready to winner last time up, but back up in Trip tomorrow, or back down in Trip, should I say. Emma Lavelle's got Javert. A couple more down there for Kerry Lee. So a lot of representatives here trained by the ladies. One of them could possibly land the spoils, and the other one right at the bottom of the weights, providing he gets in, could be Dolos, who was a readied winner last time out for the Paul Nicholls Yard. But it's very much a wait and see as far as the final decorations are confirmed to us. But I'm going to look for the girls.
Which one in particular?
Oh, I like them all. I'd like them all. No, I think if I was going to side with one of the ones that are trained by the females, it's got to be the very much informed yard of Venetia Williams and Calipito.
Calipto.
Calipto.
Yeah. I like Calipito better, though.
It sounds a bit more French.
Yeah, it does.
He is French bed. Oh, Calipito for Venetia. Currently around about 12 to 1 shot.
Yeah, if you are French, I apologise for that terrible impression there. But let's move on to...
Harsh? Rather harsh, Walton, old boy. Goodness gracious.
It needs work, Pim. It needs work.
Well.
Anyway, let's move on. We've got action coming up.
I don't know about needs work. You found me plenty of work. This is going to be one of the longest running podcasts we've had.
We're only at 10 minutes.
They'll be asleep, the poor listener, at this rate.
Looking ahead to...
You won't need a nightcap. Just listen to this.
The action coming up on Thursday then. Pimmy's going to look at a race at Ludlow for us and one at Kempton. The 410 at Ludlow is a mare's handicap hurdle. 3 miles the distance for this. A field of 8. We've gone to this one, Pimmy, because... It's, despite only 8 of them, one of the more competitive races of the day. It's quite a day of small fields and so on and so forth. So we thought we might find a bit of juice in this one.
Yeah, good little race. You can go each way if you want to, with the 8 runners being declared. Not a bad prize either, just over $7,500. Competitive race, as you'd imagine. And there's a couple in here that are coming to the race in the back of some good runs. You've got the Philip Hobbs runner, Midnight Glory. She's ridden by Ben Jones. He has ridden her on the last two occasions. She's actually got her head in front, and he takes a valuable £7 off her back, so that's certainly a big, big bonus there. She might bite. She's run well enough in defeat on a couple of occasions in the past. She makes her handicap debut tomorrow for the Nicky Henderson Yard, so you'd have to imagine that she's going to be a player. Michelle, we haven't seen her for 325 days. But again, that wouldn't worry you too much with a Twist and Davies horse. And the other horse that's been in good form is Gold Chain from the Dan Skelton Yard. William Marshall, don't know too much about him, but he's obviously not that ridden too many winners. Claims a valuable 10 off her back. And with only 10 stone 4 on her back, she could well come into the equation. So definitely a race where you can make a case for all of the 8 going to post. But I'm going to take a chance with the Hobbs runner, Midnight Glory, to make it a hat-trick of wins for young Ben Jones.
Midnight Glory, the selection for Pimmy then in that 4.10 at Ludlow. And we go to Kempton next for the 7.30 on their card, a Class 4 handicap over a mile and 3 furlongs, pretty much. We've got a field of 10 set to go to post for this one. It's, again, quite an open heat, Pimmy, and several of these arrive with ones and twos next to their name, so some informed runners.
Yeah, good little race, very competitive, as you'd imagine. Again, not a bad prize on offer, just under $6,500. A couple I liked here, near the bottom, Illa Belta Fact.
Illa Bella Fact.
She's been in rampant form of late for the Tony Carroll Yard. She started winning off from 74 last time. She's gone up £2 for that. Trip slightly shorter than what she won over last time out, but she has won over this trip in the past. I always like the Tony Carroll horses when they're in form, because they do keep the form. Mm. Once they start to trickle off, they've got to try and find their way back down the weights to get back to a winning mark. But when they're in form like this, they're always well worth keeping on the right side of. So she's definitely, he's definitely a player there. Cosmic Legend, we haven't seen that one for 45 days, 25 to 1 shot when it won last time out. But again, could be a little bit more to come from that, as it's fairly unexposed. And I thought the top weight, Villette, ran plenty well enough in defeat behind Technology at Kempton last time out as well. So, yeah, it's not a bad little race. There's plenty of here with chances, but I'm going to stick with Tony Carroll's horse, Illa Bella Fact.
OK, sticking with the inform Illa Bella Fact in that 7.30 at Kempton. That goes along with Pimmy's selection in the 4.10, which was Midnight Glory. Thank you very much, Pimmy. Been a pleasure, as always.
My pleasure. Listen, I love coming to William Hill Towers and be involved. Can't beat it.
You can't. Thank you very much. That's Pimmy then giving us his thoughts for Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:25pm with Gordon Brown, Stephen Powell and Andrew Mount. We've got Ludlow, Musselburgh and Taunton in the afternoon, Newcastle and Kempton throughout the evening. So five meetings to get stuck into this Thursday. Do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.